Amen. When that song first started off, just the tune, I was listening at the beat and I want to go, I can see clearly the rain has gone. Like the pastor shaking up. Amen. So I can see clearly now that my sins are gone. Very seldom, most of you know that we just don't break from our series on special holidays. We stay right in what we're doing, and oftentimes God will orchestrate in His miraculous way how verses can fit that holiday. During Easter, it was the resurrection of the two witnesses, and just correlated right on what we could talk about. The first resurrection to establish why the second resurrection in Revelation was important. And today we are kicking into chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. I'd like for you to turn to Revelation chapter 12, first six verses, and guess what the verses are about? A woman getting ready to have a baby and has a baby. So we're talking about motherhood. So we're going to correlate and talk about what does the Bible consider a great woman? Amen? What does the Bible consider a great woman? Talks about a great event taking place in heaven. And then we're going to talk about one of the greatest events in all the world, when that woman gave birth to the Messiah. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Father, your word is wonderful. It is good. And my prayer is that you'll move me out of the way so that I cannot mess it up. Control me by your spirit that those of us who need comfort can be comforted. And for those of us who need conviction, we'll be convicted. Teach me, Lord, that others may be taught. And thank you that none of us will be able to leave today unchanged, because your word will be taught. In Jesus' most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, praise God. Read with me the first six verses, Revelation chapter 12. We'll kick back to the latter part of chapter 11 when we start next week, explaining as much as we will going into chapter 12. 12, 13, and 14. Of the book of Revelation is kind of a break between each sixth and seventh judgment of God. There is a break. It's kind of like gives you an opportunity to get ready for what's coming next and to reflect upon what has just happened. When we went through the seven seals, it happened between the sixth and seventh seal. Now it's getting ready to happen between the sixth and seventh trumpet, and it will take place also between the sixth and seventh bowl. So we are in the midst of a time of reflection, getting ready to what's coming and to reflect back upon what has happened. Chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder, a great vision, a great thing in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. Many of our pictures that we have, false pictures of Satan. The dragon, of course, is Satan. The woman is Israel. The child is Jesus Christ, the Messiah himself. But we get a lot of false pictures of Satan, because we consider him a little red guy with horns, with a tail. And this depiction comes a lot from here. But this is just imagery, just allowing you to understand what he is all about. As we talk, as we went into the fourth, fifth, and sixth seal, and one of those seals being an army of 200 million, we said was Red China. It's just a symbolism of danger and destruction. Amen? And she brought forth a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron.
And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. We know that this prophecy heading here leads into the last 1,260 days of the tribulation period. 1,260 days, 3.5 years, 42 months. Any way you want to break it down, we know that it falls within the 7 years. The 7 years of what's going to take place in what we are now studying in the book of Revelation, called the tribulation, moving into the great tribulation, the judgment of God turning loose the seven bowls. That is a judgment beyond your wildest imagination. The seven seals and the seven trumpets were bad. The seven bowls is God on steroids. It's amazing what God is going to do as he come to judge the world for rejecting him. That's why we're preaching so hard now for you and I to wake up. And if you do not know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior, we will not be politically correct here. We're not going to stop talking about Jesus Christ if you don't know him, because it may offend you. Amen. Amen. We're going to talk about him whether you know him or not, because if we quit talking about him, you're really going to be offended when you see him as judge instead of as Lord and King and suffering Savior for your sake and mine. Now, this woman, this great woman, this great event, it says in verse 1, chapter 12, leading up to this woman who is ready to give birth, and then 5 and 6 says gives birth, and Satan wants to kill this child. It gives me the opportunity to springboard off into why the Bible calls this a great event and talks about a woman. Many try to talk about this woman as being the Virgin Mary. The Catholics want to make this woman the Virgin Mary, and the son, of course, is Jesus Christ. That is not literal. We're going to break it down next week, and we're going to start looking at the fact of Genesis chapter 37 and prove, I believe without a shadow of doubt, if we walk through, that it is the nation of Israel saying giving birth when they was under Rome, the major power of that day, the fourth world kingdom, who Jesus Christ is going to come back and bring that fourth world kingdom back together, because it's never destroyed, it was just dispersed. And then he's going to destroy that fourth world kingdom. It comes the fifth world kingdom, never to have another world kingdom again, because he's going to lead. When we look at that woman, that woman that many people have tried to make Miss Eddy, I think that Mary Becker Eddy, I think that's her name. They said that was the great woman, at least that's, and the child was Christian Science, the religion. The Bible always uses a woman to show a firm aspect of a religious movement or belief. It uses woman to represent his bride. It uses a woman to represent Israel, a religious kind. It uses a harlot, a woman who goes against God and plays with another in the book of Revelation and through the Old Testament. So we know that there is something great concerning the aspect of women. Now, I want to be straightforward, which I'm going to talk today about what does the Bible consider a great woman. And I believe with all my heart it's impossible to be a great mom without being a great woman first. See, just because you have a child don't make you a great mother. That's right. Any more than impregnating a woman make you a great father. You simply become the male-oriented biological unit of that child. Or you are simply the female biological unit of that child. But it takes great lineup from God for God to call you a great woman or a great mother. And we're going to talk about the qualities that God has. God is, in my study of 1 and 2 Kings, if we ever get out of Revelation, that's where we're going. And I always try to study for myself before I try to preach to you on something. That way I'm not getting prepared for you. That's right. When I look at the verses. I want to mold me, and then what molds me, I hope, helps you. That's the way I study, and that's the way I preach. When I look at this whole aspect of God saying that there's a great thing happening concerning this woman. And listen to what it says. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Amen, girl. We know what it means. Excuse me. You know what it means. Men don't know what it means to have childbirth. Praise be to God. We can't even handle the common cold. Birth, childbirth, pain and childbirth. Man, my mom. I thank my mom. My mom lives here now. She's here in this service. Just look like, let's look for a woman that looks like me with hair. Amen. Something like good looking woman too. I'm going to tell you, boy. To be a mother's not that easy. Motherhood is amazing. I mean, I'm glad that my mom and grandmother didn't listen to what the world say as they listen today. My mother turned 14 July 6th. It's 15 July 6th, and I was born July 14th. I'm an illegitimate child. What the world calls that which isn't that exciting. And isn't it amazing that God took which was illegitimate and gave a legitimate ministry to? Amen. That's how God does it. Nothing is wasted. There's no life that is wasted. And my grandmother told my mom, you had him, you're going to take care of him. Made her not want another one. Sometimes when we make it so easy for girls to get out of their pregnancies, they end up not knowing anything, learning anything, and they repeat the same mistakes over again. But it wasn't easy to be a mom when being born and raised in Alabama, being black. I remember many a day, mom would take me to the doctor. I would be sick as a dog. And being black in Alabama, you had to go to white doctor. There was no such thing as a black doctor when I was born. I was born at home on a table, basically. I was all over 12 pounds. That's what my mother said, too. So that'll make you not want another one. Amen. And I'm glad that she didn't hear what the world had to say. If that baby's going to mess up your life, you need to abort. Because if she would have followed that, I wouldn't be here today and I wouldn't be your pastor. Amen. So don't talk to me when I talk to young people and all about abortion and stuff, because I have no patience for taking a life, regardless how illegitimate you may think it is or the quality of life it may not have. But I remember many a day my mom taking me to the doctor and holding me for hour upon hour in that white doctor's office, because the only time they'll see a black person is when they didn't have any white patients. And I remember staying there 6-7 hours just not to be able to see the doctor that had to come back the next day, because he just didn't have time for black people in his daily routine. And my mom chose to raise that boy in that environment. So that's something special about a mom. It's Mother's Day. And God has given me the privilege of being able to talk about his qualities, what a godly mother is. And the first thing we have to realize if we look at this, that there's pain and travail that brings life. And I'm amazed at some of the ladies that when they're going through that pregnancy, they say, I'm never going to do this again. Never. And then that first pain hit him. Wow! I'm going to kill you when I get out of here. And then all of a sudden that baby's out and that first cry that takes that first breath. And you're sitting there and as a mom, you're holding that baby. And first thing you think about is, man, I got to have another one. See, ladies aren't all that smart, I'm going to tell you. The maternal instinct kicks in, man, and it's so strong. It's amazing. It can make you forget every bit of pain that you've ever had to hold that baby in your arms. There's something about motherhood that God will allow. And check this out. And when we look at biblical history, we look at world history, we look at human history. Sin entered the world by woman and Satan. Salvation to the world entered by God and a woman. Where was man? He didn't have nothing to do with neither one of them. Probably out doing what he was made to do. Break stuff and kill things. Amen. Both incidents. Now, we're made for that. Don't get over it. But we're made to become one. And when you take a man and a woman, put them together and use their strength, you got a winning combination, folks. You got a winning combination. Men, you ought to love your wives like God says. Love those mothers in a way. And then women, you ought to submit to the men's leadership. God came up with that. I did. And when you both of them put together, you have a working machine that God says cannot be defeated. Pain in childbirth. Verse 5 and 6. And she brought forth a male child who was to rule all nations. I want to give you a little secret here. The Bible says she brought forth a male child. You cannot take and make God less than a man. Doesn't matter what the world thinks. Don't matter what they're trying to come out with the Reader's Digest version of the Bible where there's no gender. God makes gender. Amen. When it comes to leadership. And we're just going to be that way. Again, if you can't put up with that, I'll come and have a conversation with you for a while. After that, I'm just going to tell you, we're not changing the direction of this church for you. Amen. Because none of you in here is more important than God. Amen. Are you glad you came just to be put down like that by the pastor? Those are sick people come to be put down and enjoy it sometimes. And she brought forth a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared for her. Listen, guys, if you're married and if you don't and you have a young lady that you're seeing, let me give you a secret, security. There's a lot of things a woman can put up with and not have, but a woman without security is tough to live with. Because she's not made, even in the midst of the turmoil and torture that's going to take place in the tribulation, God has promised her, the nation, that he's going to protect her. He has a place for her. Not going to be absent of pain, not going to be absent of death, not going to be absent of disappointments, but you will have security. And as men, we need to give that to our wives. It's important to understand that, for they're built for that. And it says, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. Doesn't matter how you break it down. It's 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. Laid out in the Bible. So we know what we're getting ready to study as we start into this deeply. Next Sunday, what it means. Today, God gives me the opportunity to settle in on the one part of these verses, the woman and the child I call a mother. And what are the biblical characteristics of a godly woman, a godly mother? Turn with me, please, to 2 Kings, that book that we do all of our devotions out of. We're very familiar with that, I'm sure. Second Kings chapter 4. I've shared this with the pastors and I've shared this with the women's leadership, and God keeps giving me an opportunity to bring this back up. Now I get the opportunity to share it with the whole church. Beginning with verse 8, would you read with me? And it fell on a day that Elisha passed the Shunem, where was a great woman there. a great woman, a well-known, wealthy, whatever. I mean, it just lays out that this woman is great and is more than what she possessed. There's a great event in heaven, Revelation 12:1, to talk about a woman who is having a child. And over here in 2 Kings chapter 4, as Elisha's passing by, there is a great woman. Great event, great woman. Let's put them together and come up with what the Bible says a great mother is. And she constrained him to eat bread. So it was that as often as she passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. Let me ask you a question. As a great woman, one of the first characteristics of a great woman is the ability to comfort others. Ladies, do you have the ability to comfort others? We call it hospitality, but since all my points are going to be C's, I couldn't use that word. Comfort to others. That is a quality that's hard to get around. Does your husband feel comforted by you? Does your children feel comforted by you? Does strangers feel comforted by you? Do you have a home where you can make anyone feel at home when they walk in? There's some people that don't have that quality because they are so concerned about their furniture. Do you live in such a way where if someone comes in carrying grape juice, you don't get all uptight? This means response. Amen. That's my way for asking for an amen. Preacher, pastor, go ahead. Do it. Getting close now. Anything like that. Any reasonable facsimile. Even this to do with the east side. I will accept that too. I've learned to accept those. Amen. You see, if you got a problem making people feel at home because of your Persian rugs and your $6,000 sofas, buy cheap furniture. Amen. Can't hear you. Buy a cheap rug or something. But you need the quality of being able to comfort others for the Bible to call you a great woman. Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. Come on, get off me. You're right now, you go, well, pastor, you just don't understand. Our home is our extension. And if we got cheap things, we feel cheap. I got a relationship class that I'm going to be teaching in June. All of you need to take it to find out you get who you are from who made you, not with what you own or what you do. And if you don't know that, you can't have a good relationship with anybody, much less an opposite sex. We're going to break that down for one weekend. It's going to be good. You got the ability to comfort others and make them relax and feel at home. Huh? Thank you. Well, you only got 10 more minutes to put up with me. Enjoy it. Somebody like you more when you leave. Pretend like you like me now. This is what happened. And she said unto her husband, oh my, if a woman is hospitable and has the ability to comfort others, always costs her husband money. Can't hear you. It is the truth, man, because they always want to buy something for somebody else. Well, so-and-so got a birthday. We got it. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I proceeded. This is a holy man of God who passed by us regularly. I think we ought to make him a place. Ching, ching. Now, that's what the man heard. She wants to be a relationship. He hears the checkbook moving. Can't hear you, girl. Woman is the only person I know can save money by buying something on sale. I pray thee with, we can put up some walls, ching, ching. Let us set for him a bed, ching, ching. I think he ought to have this particular type of table, ching, ching. And he ought to have a stool too, ching, ching. He ought to have some lampstands and a little bit of mirror, and some pictures on, ching, 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 ching. That he can turn in. Now the husband thinking the man only comes by once or twice a year. Boy can sleep in the back room back there when he'll pay all his money. You know you said it, guy. Why put all this money in the guest room? If you're blessed to have an extra room. People come to my house, they sleep in the barn or the kennels. Hospitality, known comfort to others. What's another quality? Or what the Bible calls a great woman. And it fell on the day that he came there, and he turned into the chamber and lay there, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to Gehazi, won't even talk to her himself. The man of God makes his servant talk to her. If you're not a woman that knows how to make other people feel comfortable, you're already disturbed that this sucker who you built and paid all this stuff for won't even talk directly to you. Said to his servant, ask her, is it anything we can do for her? Should we speak to the king? Should we go to the captain to speak? When we're talking about Elisha here, folks. We ain't not talking about the guy next door. When we get into this one of these days, we get into the second, first and second king on the biblical series, you're going to find out what it means, what this boy has done. It was not an idle promise. What do you want me to do for you? This man had done some wonderful things. You know what she said? She said, I dwell with my own people. You want me to break down that Hebrew? It means I am content with my life. Amen. Now, what's the first biblical quality of a great woman? The comfort of others. Second is to be content with what she doesn't have. To be content with what you don't have. Now, some of you are saying, well, if I was that that woman, had that kind of money, had that kind of riches, that I can build somebody another house. Or the NIV, I think, says it built it on top of the house. So to build a penthouse for somebody else, I think I could be happy too. I'm going to tell you the one worst thing is about this woman is the worst thing that ever happened to a woman in the Old Testament. She was barren. She had no children. Here comes a man of God who can ask God for anything. Is there anything I can do for you? She says, I'm content with what I don't have. Even if the world looks at me as being a disgrace. Do you have that quality in your life? That you can be content with what you don't have. Don't just think it's women. Guys. But this is what the Bible says was a great woman. Let me see if I can say this to you. I want to say it to you kind. Ladies, you want your husband to love you like never before. Because a man ain't got sense enough to know if you're joking. A man right now asks you, is anything wrong? And you say no, he can know there's something wrong, but he'll take you at face value so he can get out the room. So you can fool us. Even if you're not content, pretend like you are, and you'll get anything you need from it. You want to change your home? Just make your home a contented home because you're content. Now, I got some good news and bad news for you men. The good news is, woman sets the atmosphere in the home. The bad news is the man set the atmosphere in the woman. So if there's some bad vibes going on in the home, it's because you are establishing bad vibes in the woman God has given you to love. It's a two-way street. But either one of you can be content without the other. My wife knows right now, without a shadow of a doubt, you can talk to her if you like. My wife knows that she can talk to me about anything, but she cannot complain to me about nothing. That's the way my house is. And sometimes I come home, man, and my kids are whining like crazy, and I go, whoa, what is going on in the house here? I got a whole bunch of little whiners going on. I said, hey, none of y'all got nothing, right? Now, my wife, man, she can, I mean, anybody that lives with a pastor who has to share her husband with over 3,000 people has a right to complain about things. But talk to me about anything. I listen to you about anything. But the minute I think there's complaining going on, I shut it down and I won't listen. You insensitive oaf. Let me tell you, one of the worst things in the world about kids today is they hear mom and dad complaining too much and had in the same next breath talk about how great God is. It's so hypocritical. That's why we never train the second generation well in the church. You talk about the power of God and you can't even get along. Don't talk to me about God changing the world when he can't change your own home. And you don't have to be happy to shut down complaining. You just got to be a man or woman enough to do it. Are you glad you came to church on this Mother's Day or what? The pastor's a sick man, isn't he? But you stuck with me for a while. Ooh, she's content with what she doesn't have. He says, I'm going to tell you something, ladies, so don't worry about it, babe. This time next year, you're going to have a son. She said, don't you play with your servant. She said, I'm quite content without a child. Don't you build my hope up. He said, you know, I'm Elijah. I don't play. Next year at this time, you're going to have a boy. One thing to be barren is another thing not to give your husband a son. That you are the worst. It may not even be your fault. But in that day, they didn't care. If you didn't have a boy child, you were worth nothing. So this woman had a right to ask. But she didn't because she was content with what she didn't have. Check this out. Verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on day. That means he was over 30. When the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry the boy to his mother. Think he was a mother's boy. Can't hear you. You think he's a mother's boy? I don't know. I'm going to keep on working. Take him to his mother. And they take him to his mother. She sits him on her lap. And he sits there to noon and he dies. She carries him over to the Elisha's bed. Never says a word. Goes out to her husband and says, I need a donkey and a lad to take me to the man of God. Says, it's not even a holy day yet. She says, is everything okay? She said, you stupid, inconsiderate, insensitive oaf. You know that boy was sick, and yet you went to work anyway. If you would have stayed home and loved me the way you needed to, and that boy, you would know he's already dead, and you wouldn't be asking me these stupid questions. Is that what she said? She said, it's well. What is the quality of a godly woman? Comfort of others. Content with what she doesn't have, and content with what she's lost. Because she knows if God takes it, she'll get it back or something better. Do you think children need to see moms and dads like this, with these qualities? We got to rush because we got to get out of here. Watch this. She says, you take me. She got on that donkey, that woman. Says, you take me to the man of God and don't you slow down or stop unless I tell you. And she went all the way. And Elisha saw her coming, sends Gehazi to her and says, ask her how her family is. And Elisha took off, ran up to her and says, how are you doing? She said, it is fine. So how's your husband? So he's fine. So how's your son? She says, I thought you was a man of God. At least you work with the man of God. You ought to know that I wouldn't be coming out here on a donkey in the middle of the day for all these days just to get to you, just to say, ah, it's everything. Can't hear you. What's she saying? How are you? I'm fine. How's your husband? Yo, he's fine. Didn't come with me. Sent me with this boy on a donkey. Still working. Praise God, she's got a husband that'll work. How's that boy of yours? When I get to the man of God, he's going to be just fine. Commitment to contentment is a godly quality of a great woman. Can't hear you. Commitment to contentment is a godly quality to a woman, to a man, to a child, but especially to a woman. Do you realize I raise and breed horses, you know, one of my hobbies. And one of the things we do real quick is we don't like bad mares around the place. We don't like mares with bad habits around the place. Because you know what a mare do that's got a bad habit? The first thing she'd do is teach a baby. If a mare has a bad habit of kicking, you can bet 100% that if you don't get that baby away from her, the baby's going to have a history of kicking. It is amazing if you want to control your herd, just get rid of bad mares. Studs can be stupid oaths, run through fences, cut themselves up, won't even affect how the babies are, but the mothers will. Can't hear you. That's why God says, if it's possible, it's good for mom to be there with children and dad go to work. I said, if it's possible. In our society today, sometimes not possible. But you got to make choices, folks. You got to make choices. Watch this. She comes up and grabs Elisha. Gehazi, I said, get away from that. Elisha, shh. There's something wrong with her. She don't act like this. And then he says, Gehazi, I want you to go and raise that woman's boy. And the woman looked and said, as God is my witness, I came here for you. I am not leaving without you. You know what a godly one, another quality of a godly woman? She won't listen to anyone unless they're a godly man.
All right now.
Can't hear you.
Amen.
You know, a lot of you right now are married because you settle for something that you're mad at now. Just so you wouldn't be lonely. Can't hear you. Just mad at him because he is acting the same way before he got married as he's acting now that you are married. Acting the same way. Insensitive, wouldn't call, don't care. And you thought saying I do was going to make a difference. You listen to someone that wasn't godly. Every woman that's gotten in trouble in here with a man. Every woman that's gotten in trouble with a man has listened to ungodly things coming from that man. And some of you ladies have helped them be that way. Because if it hadn't happened any other way, then we call it rape. Oh, that was a weak response on that one. On this Mother's Day. I thought they were a lot more gracious on Mother's Day with amen.
Amen.
And she brought that man back, that godly man back. And when that godly man got back, he was still on plan A, not the godly woman. He sent his servant in there to raise that boy, but he couldn't do it. The woman knew that Gehazi couldn't do it before Elisha did. And because she held on to a man of God, she got a son back. You know why she never doubted? because 30-some years prior to that, he had asked her, "Can I do anything for you?" She said, "What? I'm content." It was his choice to give her that boy. She never asked. So she had one promise left from the man of God, because she never claimed it. But she remembered God's promise is good 30 years later as it was the day it was made.
All right.
And after she lost her boy, she said, "Now I got something to ask." And she went and says, "Now I got something. I want my boy back, and you got to do it." And he went and did it.
Amen.
A godly woman is committed to contentment. Listen to a godly man, because a godly man gets his words from God, and she always holds on to the promise so she can have her contentment fulfilled. I just want to know, do we have any godly women here that's going to reach up and ask God to fill their life up with these qualities so that you can not only be a great mom, but you can be a great woman first? There is a need in America today for great women. And any great woman should never settle for anything less than a great, godly man. Because I'm going to give you a secret. It is better to stay single and be lonely than to be led by a stupid old. Because I'm going to give you a secret. Sex isn't enough. To have sex is the worst thing in the world to try to build a marriage on. Because I know it's hard to believe, but you get older.
Amen. Tell the truth.
And you get uglier. I'm just one of the lucky ones, I guess. I don't know.
I can't believe I said it. That's it. Oh, sorry.
I just want a few good men that's going to take care of some great women.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for your word. Amen.
Amen.
Help us with the charity, but let me give you, men, let me tell you this, men, on this Mother's Day. We got 4 or 5 churches calling us because they're hearing what's going on at Antioch and want to come to our men's retreat. And we're holding them off and saying no, because we want our men to be at the retreat. Now, sign up quick, because we're not going to let someone else not come and you don't come.
Right.
Amen. All right.